A look of deep melancholy crossed the mathematician's face, and his eyes grew moist with sadness. Everything was silent, and it was several minutes before he was able to reply at all.
"How very true,"
he sobbed, supporting himself on the staff.
"It has been that way since rhyme and reason were banished."
"Quite so," began the humbug. "I personally feel that..."
"And all because of that stubborn wretch Azaz,"
roared the mathematician, completely overwhelming the bug, for now his sadness had changed to fury, and he stalked about the room, adding up anger and multiplying wrath.
"It's all his fault."
"Perhaps if you discussed it with him," Milo started to say, but never had time to finish.
"He's much too unreasonable,"
interrupted the mathematician again.
"Just last month, I sent him a very friendly letter, which he never had the courtesy to answer. See for yourself."
He handed Milo a copy of the letter, which read,
4738-1919, 667-3940175841, 62589, 85371-143958871904342032768957131 48206 58649805362179875073.
"But maybe he doesn't understand numbers," said Milo, who found it a little difficult to read himself.
"Nonsense!" bellowed the mathematician. "Everyone understands numbers. No matter what language you speak, they always mean the same thing. A seven is a seven anywhere in the world."
"My goodness," thought Milo. "Everybody is so terribly sensitive about the things they know best."
"With your permission," said Tok, changing the subject, "we'd like to rescue rhyme and reason."
"Has Azaz agreed to it?"
the mathematician inquired.
"Yes, sir,"
the dog assured him.
"Then I don't,"
he thundered again.
"For since they've been banished, we've never agreed on anything, and we never will."
He emphasized his last remark with a dark and ominous look. "Never?" asked Milo, with the slightest touch of disbelief in his voice.
"Never," he repeated. "And if you can prove otherwise, you have my permission to go."
"Well," said Milo, who had thought about this problem very carefully ever since leaving Dictionopolis, "then with whatever Azaz agrees, you disagree."
"Correct,"
said the mathematician with a tolerant smile.
"And with whatever Azaz disagrees, you agree."
"Also correct,"
yawned the mathematician, nonchalantly cleaning his fingernails with the point of his staff.
"Then each of you agrees that he will disagree with whatever each of you agrees with," said Milo triumphantly. "And if you both disagree with the same thing, then aren't you really in agreement?"
"I've been tricked!"
cried the mathematician helplessly. For no matter how he figured, it still came out just that way.
"Splendid effort,"
commented the humbug jovially.
"Exactly the way I would have done it myself."
"And now may we go?" added Tok. The mathematician accepted his defeat with grace, nodded weakly, and then drew the three travelers to his side. "It's a long and dangerous journey," he began softly, and a furrow of concern creased his forehead.
"Long before you find them, the demons will know you're there. Watch for them well," he emphasized, "for when they appear, it might be too late."
The humbug shuddered down to his shoes, and Milo felt the tips of his fingers suddenly grow cold.
"But there is one problem even more serious than that," he whispered ominously.
"What is it?"
gasped Milo, who was not sure he really wanted to know.
"I'm afraid I can tell you only when you return."
"Come along," said the mathematician, "and I'll show you the way."
And simply by carrying the three, he transported them all to the very edge of Digitopolis. Behind them lay all the kingdoms of wisdom, and up ahead, a narrow, rutted path led toward the mountains and darkness.
"We'll never get the car up that," said Milo unhappily.
"True enough," replied the mathematician, "but who can be in ignorance quick enough without riding all the way? And if you are to be successful,
It will have to be step by step.
But I would like to take my gifts, Milo insisted.
So you shall,
announced the dodecahedron, who appeared from nowhere with his arms full.
Here are your sights, here are your sounds, and here,
he said, handing Milo the last of them disdainfully, are your words.
And most important of all, added the math magician, here is your own magic staff. Use it well, and there is nothing it cannot do for you.
He placed in Milo's breast pocket a small, gleaming pencil, which, except for the size, was much like his own. Then, with a last word of encouragement, he and the dodecahedron, who was simultaneously sobbing, frowning, pining, and sighing from four of his saddest faces, made their farewells and watched as the three tiny figures disappeared into the forbidding mountains of ignorance. Almost immediately, the light began to fade as the difficult path wandered aimlessly upward, inching forward almost as reluctantly as the trembling humbug. Tok, as usual, led the way, sniffing ahead for danger, and Milo, his bag of precious possessions slung over one shoulder, followed silently and resolutely behind.
"Perhaps someone should stay back to guard the way," said the unhappy bug,
offering his services, but since his suggestion was met with silence, he followed glumly along. The higher they went, the darker it became, though it wasn't the darkness of night, but rather more like a mixture of lurking shadows and evil intentions which oozed from the slimy, moss-covered cliffs and blotted out the light. A cruel wind shrieked through the rocks, and the air was thick and heavy, as if it had been used several times before. On they went, higher and higher up the dizzying trail, on one side the sheer stone walls and brutal peaks towering above them, and on the other an endless, limitless, bottomless nothing. "I can hardly see a thing," said Milo, taking hold of Tok's tail as a sticky mist engulfed the moon. "Perhaps we should wait until morning."
"There'll be morning for you soon enough,"
came a reply from directly above, and this was followed by a hideous, cackling laugh, very much like someone choking on a fishbone.